Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. This is your girl, Princess. I'm still going through, I guess, some tests and trials with this Blog Talk Radio stuff because I would like for my theme music to play. So I went over all this. But anyway, I'm getting ready to add Candy to the line and open up
the
line.
Princess.
Candy, are you there? Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm struggling a little bit, but I'll get this right in a minute. Did you hear the music playing when you called
in?
I
did at first, and then it stopped for a minute, and then you came in.
Okay. So next time I just need to let it play. So if you hold on, I can do your intro,
okay.
And then we'll come right back, okay?
All righty.
Hey girls, and what up dudes, I'm so glad you're joining me today. This is your girl Princess with Truth Heals Hurt Radio. Today we're going to deal with the truth about divorce and that there is a life after. And then we're going to deal with the truth about our eating habits. My first guest is author Candy Jackson, who's going to let us hear her life after divorce experience. And then Fit Coach Janae is going to join us at 8:30 to tell us the truth about what we put in our temple. Help me spread the word about my show. Facebook it. Tweet. Share our banners on Instagram. Whatever you do, I'm pretty sure your friends will appreciate it. Let's get ready. Let's heal.
Okay, so Candy, we're back. And how I would like to start the show, I want it to be as natural as I possibly can get it.
Okay.
So you just get comfortable, talk to me as if it's just you and I talking on the phone, and feel free to share whatever you feel like will bless somebody else. I don't want to cause problems because most of the time when we're telling the truth, we're talking about other people. And our truth may not match up with their truth. You know how that works. And so you can leave out any names. We're not here for that, to know who. But I just want to do a show where I can actually help some other people realize that they're not in this life alone. So I thank you so much for coming on my show today.
Well, thank you for having me. And although we've never met face-to-face, Princess, you're going to learn real quick that Candy is an open book. I keep it plain and simple and as real as possible.
Well, I appreciate that because, see, that's the only way I healed. Through the years, that's the only way I've healed is when people just give it to me real. So, mm-hmm. Candy, tell me, how long were you married?
I was married for 19 years. I got married when I was 27 years old. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a life of singlehood before. So I didn't, you know, leave mom's house and go and get married. I actually left home at 19, and I was single mm-hmm. for a long time before I got married. So I got married at 27, and I stayed married for 19 years.
Wow. And so mm-hmm. in the 19 years, was it pretty much, you know, like a good relationship? You know, your typical, because I don't think relationships are perfect. I think, you know, people mm-hmm. misunderstand, you know, when we say relationships. So you don't have to have a perfect, but was it kind of normal?
Well, let me say this. You know, hindsight is 20/20. So looking back, there were always signs. And I don't think it was per se normal. I had a son going into the marriage, and he had a daughter going into the marriage, but the daughter lived out of state, so my son was actually with us. And, you know, from the very beginning, there were signs. You know, he had a really bad temper, and I would always just kind of blame it on his upbringing. He was adopted, and he dealt with those demons of feeling abandoned. And so later on, we found out that he was bipolar, and he did seek treatment for it.
Okay. And so that, of course, affects your home. I can pretty much, because my daddy is crazy, so let me say that. My real biological father was a madman. So that changes what you would like for your atmosphere in your home to be like. So I can say it wasn't quite peaceful. So what led to the divorce? Did you cut it off? Is this something that, you know, because sometimes we have to learn, we'll try to stay in stuff. Some of us will try to stay in it all the way down. And we know it's not any good, but we'll try to stay in there. So what was the decision-making, I guess, point?
Well, you know, when I describe it to people, I say it like this. It all fell down. It didn't happen over a period of time. It was like within a year, the 19 years had went down the drain. And what happened was my children had started acting out. We had two children together, and they were teenagers at the time, and they had started acting out. And I just couldn't really put my finger on it. I kept trying to deal with those issues. And then he was leaving little clues of cheating around. And then finally, you know, I had the opportunity to confront him with it, and he denied it. And then I asked, well, okay, well, let's do some counseling. And so we went into counseling. And the whole time in counseling, he kind of just fought against it. He would show up drunk, you know, or show up with a major attitude. And right in the end, you know, very close to the end, he just well, I actually caught him in a lie. He used to go on this yearly trip to Vegas for this cigar show. And this particular year, the last year, he didn't want me to make his reservations. He didn't want me to get his ticket. You know, and that kind of lit the light bulb. I'm like, you know what? This is really going on. So that was in November. March, it was over.
Wow.
So it was just a series of things that happened within a year. And, you know, Princess, what really kind of beckoned me to leave was the fact that everyone who knows me knows that I believe in the power of forgiveness. My mother used to say that I had a gift in forgiveness because I could actually, someone could hurt me and I would forgive them and I would still love them the same, keep on going. And so I asked him, why didn't you just admit it? Because, you know, I would have forgiven you. And he just couldn't do it. And he just couldn't do it. And so the things that happened after the separation is what really sealed it. It was the decision-making factor in the divorce,
And so, okay, so with having somebody who was willing to forgive, now that's amazing. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but you'll see your sister, your literary sister over here, she's very blunt too. That's about crazy because, you know, if you're going to forgive me, I could get away. That's a get out of jail card. Hey. But, you know, to each his own. I get it. Okay. So, with that, tell me how you dealt with it because you have to lose something. My grandmother always told me that divorce was like death, and so I use that for your title. And the reason why she said it is because you're taking two people and you're birthing a relationship. And when you take that apart, then it's death, you know, or you're killing what once, you know, came together as one. And so I've gone through a divorce also. I was happy about mine. I'm going to just say that. I had a party, so I'm sorry. I did. I had a party. I actually went to a hotel, jumped up and down on the bed. I don't drink, so, you know, I just lost my mind. I was just happy in Jesus. Okay, so, but for you, it's like a breath of fresh air, because sometimes this hurts people. You was married 19 years, so how did you feel after this?
Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. It was devastating. It was devastating. When I tell you that I literally wanted to just die, that's the truth. I literally just wanted to die. It was just that devastating. When I talk about it now, and I usually don't talk about it often, I call that period in my life the fire. because it was like the house caught on fire. I stepped outside and watched every one of my possessions go up in smoke. When I left that marriage, I left with absolutely nothing.
Mm.
I didn't take one thing with me except my two kids. And one was 2 months from graduating high school. And so, and the other was 2 years from graduating high school. But it wasn't until, like I said, afterwards that I found out a lot of other things, and I knew I could never go back. But when I left, you know, we were still in counseling, and I remember the last session we met there, and I just looked up and I said, I can't do it. And I walked out and got in my car and drove. I was staying with my parents at the time. And I called the therapist back the next day, and she said, you know, walking in the door, I knew you two weren't going to make it. I was just shocked that you all had made it so long.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, you know, and it was almost like everyone on the outside could see what it was I couldn't see. But it was just that, you know, I asked people to kind of understand me. We don't understand people, but I was raised to be a good wife and a good mother.
Right.
My mother, you know, coming up, you know, my mother took me to charm school, always had a baby doll. You know, she just made it, she made me want to be a good wife and a mother. And I come from a family which marriages last a long time. My parents have been married 57 years. My oldest brother has been married 33 years, the next brother 30 years, and the next brother 20 years. So the decision to get a divorce was very difficult. And when I finally knew I had to do it, I went to my mom, and she took one look at me, and she said, girl, she said, if you've done all you could do, you tried everything you can, everything in your power, then you just need to seal the deal. And that's when I felt like she just gave me a permission slip to do it.
Yeah, because so, I grew up with that same kind of family, So kind of need a push because you just don't know. You just want to do right. You just want to make it work. And then, see, I have aunts just like you said, somebody 57. Like I have those aunts that have been married for 50-something years, and they just endured a lot of stuff. You hear later on, you know, what they had to go through. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't just things like somebody leaving a sock somewhere and that just hurts your nerves. It's stuff like cheating and lying and, you know, financial problems. So, so... I got to tell everybody this, you're an author and a good one. I'm talking about, I really enjoyed the story. I wanted, you know, I was a little different from some of the other people that, read your book, Pink, because I was like, well, Lord, poor little Pink, you know, she heard from God and, you know, and then I was saying to myself, I know somebody like that, you know, that once she thinks she heard from God, it doesn't matter. Even if she's taking somebody's man, you know, she just feel like that's the Lord. And so I was laughing at that. I said, because Victoria has always told me, Princess, you got to make it believable. And I will say in your book, you really made it believable. So I'm going to talk about the book at the end. But did you write before the divorce, or did something happen after the divorce? Like, were you seeking after your dreams or chasing them during your marriage?
Well, you know what? What's funny is this. I had started writing before the problem. Let's say that. I had started writing before the problem. And Victoria tell you, I'm a very challenged writer. I wrote about 13 stories before the problem hit. I'm just the kind of person who can never end a story. And so I would have all these open stories. But I did a lot of reading during the problem. And I used to read a book a day, and I did that for years and years. Like I said, hindsight is 20/20. Now I know I was trying to focus on something other than my reality or what was going on in front of me. But I'm the kind of writer, if I have a problem, if something is heavy on my mind, or if I'm being burdened with something, I can't write. I'm not like most people.
That's me.
It doesn't, it's not freedom for me. You know what I mean? I like to write when I'm happy. So I didn't do a lot of, I did start Pink during that time, but I didn't finish it. And but I will say this, I know for a fact that everything that happens to us is by design. that God designs everything. He knows, of course, he knows what's coming before we do. And so the writing pulled me out of despair.
Oh, wow.
And I can remember the call saying, we're going to publish your book. And I'm thinking, everything I have been through, this moment was worth every bit.
Yes.
This moment was worth every bit. And so because it showed me that I could still succeed, because, it, you know, marriage does feel like a divorce does feel like a death. And I even remember a girlfriend of mine saying, your husband just left. I mean, you're getting a divorce. My husband died. And I remember saying, no, my family died. You know, my family has been murdered. That's what it felt like, because that because we did create a family, and he wasn't a bad guy the whole time. You know what I mean?
Right.
He really tried to be a better person. And I tell people, I used to tell people, I think he loved me as long as he could, the best he could. And when he got to the point where he could no longer hide who he really was, is when he kind of just split. But when I say the death of a family, and I'm going to give you a today analysis, today, Sunday. Sundays are my hardest days, because I was Big Mama. I made the meal. My oldest son and his wife would come. The kids would be there. They would invite their friends. And so I find myself on Sundays wandering. It could just be wandering through the house or wandering in my mind, still trying to make that connect to where should I be? Where am I? You know, and nothing feels like home anymore. And it's been 5 years, 3 years divorced, but 5 years separated, and it still doesn't feel like home. How about that?
And it's I do know. See, I was excited about my divorce, so that you and I would have different feelings. But I did lose what I wanted, you know, as far as family stuff at that time. And I had to ask God. You know what I'm saying? You had to ask God, because I'm a family person too. I love dinners. I love the children coming, you know, and we hang out and, you know, we have things. And so I've been blessed now to, you know, remarry. And I have that again, except I'm a military spouse. But I know what you mean about having these things that hold you together. You know, it's a part of your life. It's major. And it may be little to somebody else, you know, but it's big to you. So, that takes I'm telling you, I know it's hard. The difference with mine is if I had gotten married for love, I probably would be, you know, have felt those pains. And so I'm so glad you're being transparent, because there are going to be some people like me, and then there are going to be more people like you who they really wanted it to work. You know, they really want their family stuff and to grow old. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to let you think about it.
Okay.
And I'm going to play a commercial, and then when I come back, you can answer me. Okay, so the question is to be, if you had to do it all over again, would you take that same route, or would you be asking God, let me do this with somebody else? Hold on, okay?
Okay.
Hi, I'm Rashonda Tate Billingsley, and by now we hope you've heard how we're changing the game with our boutique publishing company, Brown Girls Publishing. Victoria Christopher Murray and I founded the company because while we've both been blessed to still have careers as successful authors, we knew that because of the changing industry, there were many talented writers who weren't having the opportunity to let their voice be heard. The paradigm has shifted in film and TV and music as artists take control of their destiny. We're hoping to do that in the literary industry by bringing you quality fiction from fan favorites and fresh voices in every genre. Victoria and I personally edit every book to make sure you're getting quality stories. New titles are added every month. So come on over to browngirlspublishing.com and order some books and support these awesome writers. You'll be glad you did. Brown Girls Publishing, where the game has changed.
Okay, we're back with Candy Jackson, and I am blessed today to have her share her story about divorce. But now we get to talk about the life after after she answers this question that I asked her before I went to commercial. The question was, if you had to do it all over again, would you have rather been, now that you know what it's like, would you repeat it with the same person because of his life experience, or would you have said, God, I would have wanted to do this different?
Well, I would have to say yes, I would, with the same person, because I had two beautiful children from that relationship that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And they have blessed me in a way that you could never know. And so I thank God for the experience. And I'm going to say something, Princess, that I thought about today. I'm going to try not to cry.
It's okay. I can't hug you. Reach out and, you know.
I may not ever have the opportunity to be a wife ever again. But I have done it. And I did it to the best of my ability. I went to bed every night knowing I did the best for my family. And no one could ever take that from me. And so I go off into the future. And this is what I want women to know. Because I had a psychologist to tell me that divorce comes in four seasons, and I didn't believe her because at first I was very angry. The second season, I was lost. The third season, I was actually promiscuous. And the fourth season, I was lonely. So my biggest problem with myself in the divorce, I kept wondering, what would God say to me when I stood before him? You know, I know he wouldn't be pleased with the divorce, but would he be angry with me? And I just had to really pray one night and ask him for forgiveness, and that if he saw anything in me that I could have done better, if he gave me the opportunity, that I would love better the next time. And so, and although I'm in a relationship now, I still don't know what the future holds. And although that marriage took a lot out of me, it took a whole lot away from me. I'm not one of those people. I'm not going back to the enemy's camp to get it. He can have it. Because what I got was something that I never had before, on levels that I never had it before. And that was peace, that was joy, that was happiness, and a clear understanding on why I'm here. I don't take life as serious as I used to. I take it day by day, minute by minute, and I want to try to experience everything I possibly can before my time is up.
That is what we have to do. I'm realizing that more and more, and I'm just, my patience is becoming short with foolishness. I just want to enjoy my life. Most of the time I tell people, I think I'm saying it every day almost, when things happen, I'm like, no, I just want to chill. I want to just enjoy my life. I don't care anything about that. I just want to enjoy my life. So people are looking at me now like, oh, okay. I don't care about a lot of things that I used to care about because they don't mean anything to me, especially once somebody's gone. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, divorce is like death, so that person departs from you, that, you know, you don't have the same things. And so there is life after, so you are dating someone now. Do you feel that you're free to date? Have you been free? Like, have you freed yourself to enjoy yourself?
I'm so free. And, you know, I get this little thing. I can be in a shopping center or a grocery store, and I can see a mother with little kids, and I think to myself, Lord, won't you do it? Because there's no feeling in the world like waking up and not having to take care of anybody but yourself. My baby will be 21 next weekend. So my kids are grown and gone, and it's just me. I can do what I want, go where I want, eat what I want. And I am in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for about a year and a half now to a very kind man. And I don't put, what can I say? I don't put tabs on where it's going. I just enjoy it by the day.
Yeah, just taking it.
I just take it by the day. But
because a lot of women get, you know what, Candy, a lot of women, to me, when they get out of that, if they are like wifey type material like us, They want to get back in something quick. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what they know. And then me being a church girl, I didn't want to be hoeing around. And I said, Lord, I'm going to, you know, need you to send me somebody. And I guess he said, no, ma'am, you sit your behind down until I send somebody. You're going to have to calm your nerves. So, you know, it's funny because after you're in this, you worry a lot about what people think, what people say. Some people do. You may not have, but a lot. If you can say something to somebody that may be listening that is worried about, okay, I'm having to get a divorce, and you know what I'm saying.
I want to speak to a certain type of woman because I was 47. Yeah, I mean 52 and a little bit, so I was 47. And I think for my age group, I think that we're a forgotten woman, that you don't think about the things that you have to take care of now, because now is different. Now I got to make sure that I stay in shape. I got to make sure I keep my health up, because there's no one there to, you know, there's no one there to death do us part anymore. My mother was making a joke last weekend about retiring. I was like, well, now I can't retire early. You know, now I have to work. Taxes are incredibly high for a single person with no children. You see where I'm going? I mean, so there's
It's different.
The lifestyle is very, very different. But although I believe I'm going to always be wife material, and I want you to listen good, and everybody out there, I want you to listen good too. I believe my story, my personal journey, has always been attached to my great love affair. And that great love affair has yet to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That I do know in my heart and soul.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. I feel you on that now. We're going to have to.
I
hope you're listening. Yes.
After I got my groove and being single, because it does take, you know, a while, because see, I had to deal with my kids as far as getting them help. You know, trying to stay on the straight and narrow. My son still has challenges. My middle son still has challenges as far as becoming a man. You know, he had a baby recently, trying to stay employed without a college. I wasn't able to send my kids to college because I was simply trying to survive. There were days that there was no food. It was days I had to make a decision whether I was going to eat or put gas in the car. I lost my car. I was evicted before. Things happened to me that I never would have dreamed. But I'm telling you, I remember standing in the middle of this eviction that I had paid my rent, mind you, and I looked up and I said, God, what in the world is this foolishness? And just like I'm talking to you, because we know God speaks differently for different
people. Yes, days, he does.
He said to me, nobody is coming to save you. Stop looking. No one is coming to save you. And in that moment, I knew that I was the only soldier in my army.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to get a clear understanding that I couldn't, that a comeback wasn't a go back, that I could burn that bridge because I was never going to go back. I had to look my daughter in the face and say, it was her last year high school. I said, we have to do it. We have to do it together, and I need you to not be a crazy teenager, even though she did for a moment. My other son was out on his own, and my oldest was already married. But I faced challenges I hadn't even faced as a single woman in my 20s, because I lived very well in my 20s. You know what I mean? So I became a person that lived paycheck to paycheck, woke up one day, and my paycheck was being garnished from things that were going on in the home that we owned that he was responsible for. I had to pack up and go back home to my parents' house at 50 years old. So I had to face some challenges that I tell people all the time, that temptation, and this is for all the men and women who are even thinking about cheating, that temptation is a door that you walk through. And once you walk through, you fall. And then when you're at the bottom, there's a trap door that you sink even lower. You don't just destroy a marriage. You destroy a family. You destroy children. You destroy their children. You destroy the whole atmosphere. And it takes everything in you to fight your way back up. if it wasn't for the people that God planted in my life at particular times, I don't know where I'd be. I had a woman who we were just okay to put $5,000 in my hand one day. I had a Victoria, you know, we both love Victoria. She's a very good friend of mine. She practically paid for my son to go to prom. My brothers put together money for my daughter to have a good prom. Old boyfriends, my oldest son's father, who we had never been friends in all these years, saw my daughter at a grocery store on Valentine's Day, in the grocery store crying because she didn't have money to buy me something for Valentine's Day. He bought flowers, candy, and a car and told her, "Don't tell your mother I bought this. You said it's from you." And after that, we became friends. Old boyfriends that would stop by and say, "Come on, I'm going to take you to the grocery store," or "Let me give you a ride to work." It was like miracles happening in the midst of all of this that made me believe that human kindness still existed, that made me believe that I was going to come out of this. And the one lesson that I learned that I thought I knew, because I was raised in a church too, Princess, I thought I already trusted God, but I didn't. I didn't trust God. I trusted God was going to make sure I could do all the things I needed to do. And that's not trusting God.
Yeah.
But it was one day I woke up after all that bad could happen and possibly happen, and I felt like I was having a stroke. And my parents took me to the hospital, and I laid there at night, and I said, "God, I have done everything I could think of to get back on my feet, and nothing I am doing is working." And he said to me, "You've done everything but trust me." And it was in that day that I gave him my worries, I gave him my problems, I gave him my children, I gave him my bills, I gave him my non-driving self because my car was gone, my home was gone. And when I walked out of that hospital, I walked out free. One month later, I started writing a story. I took a little trip. I got $35 together and went to New York for the weekend for the Harlem Book Fest to get my dream back. On the way back, I was on Facebook writing a little story, and a guy inboxed me. I don't Facebook date, but I went to his status to see if I knew him, and I really didn't, but I knew his friend. And a week after that, we went on a date. A week after that, he bought me a car, and I can't even begin to tell you how my life changed after that.
That is, I'm telling you, hold on 1 second, Candy. I see you, Janae. I'm getting ready to open up your line, so just hang on 1 second. You know, what I like about my show is that it gets so good that we probably need an hour and a half, but I figure people's attention spans will start, you know, you know, they'll start trying to go to sleep on me or talking about me and saying I'm trying to have church. Okay, so anyway, but Candy, you have blessed us today. I truly appreciate you sharing that, and especially giving us the life after part of it, because we need to know that there is life after, and that God is still blessing, and that He, you know, will forgive us for some of the decisions we make. I mean, you just never. To me, God forgives for some things that I've been taught, you know, all my life that He may not be forgiven for. But I've seen Him work in mighty ways when people really humble themselves and come before Him. So, if Candy, right quick before you leave, can you tell us how people can contact you? Because somebody listening to the show today may need your story in more detail, may need to hear, you know, or ask you a question. So how can my listeners contact you?
Well, they can always email me. I'm at Peppered Pages, that's PEPPEREDPAGES @hotmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter, I'm Candy Girl Can, and of course on Facebook as Candy Jackson. And I'm open, I'm here to help, hopefully. Real soon, in the next couple months, I'm going to have a new website. I also have a website, www.candyjackson.net. But I'm going to have a new website. It's going to be www.therealcandyjackson.com, where we're going to talk about issues that pertain to women after divorce. So hopefully that will be up by June. And by all means, if you need some advice or you need someone just to listen, just contact me, and I'll be there to listen.
And she means that. So would you all do it? Okay, Candy, I'm putting you on hold if you want to stay on. I appreciate it. If not, if you have to go, I understand. And Janae, I'm going to play this commercial. I'm coming back, and that way we can just get right into our segment. Thank you, Candy.
Thank you, Francis.
What is this?
What's what? What's that? Savannah, sweetheart. What is that? Why are you showing me those?
Don't you dare do that, Shelton. Don't you dare stand there and tell me that you have no idea what these are.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about you cheating on me. How could you do this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't believe you did this to me. After all these years, after all the love I've given you, after everything that I've given to you.
But I don't.
Sheldon! Help me, please. My husband, he collapsed. I think he's had a heart attack.
If you want to find out what happened to Sheldon, you'll have to get a copy of Touched by an Angel by Victoria Christopher Murray and Princess F.L. Gooden. Happy reading.
Okay, everybody, I am now turning this over to the other side of the show, which is with Fit Coach Janae. Are you there, Janae?
I'm here.
I'm sorry you had to hold on for a minute. We got into, you know, telling people how they can live after divorce. And so I'll just play less commercials on your side so that way we can get in the good. Okay?
All right. Okay.
Okay, so now I posted about your website, and I was so amazed today at the fact that, okay, not only are you offering tips and not only are you doing these amazing videos, you are offering meals too, right?
Yes, yes, healthy, nutritious meals under 500 calories if you're trying to lose weight or manage your weight. Temple Meals by Fit Coach Janae. This stuff is fresh, it's organic, no sodium. I don't believe in using that sodium. That's where that high blood pressure comes from. And no GMOs, no pesticides, none of that stuff.
Wow. So that I can't, I guess because I've known you since you were little.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed at it. That is so awesome. Like, you have to forgive me, but I just need a few minutes to just take in the amazing, I'm talking about, that is a huge, like, you hear about Weight Watchers and stuff. Now, let me just be honest with you, so you're going to have to help me, and I'm just going to be
okay.
Your client today. Okay,
okay,
I don't like that Weight Watchers food. It don't taste good to me. Like, I'm going to need some food with some seasoning and something, you know, like some salt or something. So, like you said, that sodium does not help us. So, can you tell me, because I want my temple to be right, okay, so Princess needs some seasoning. You know, I ate your daddy chicken. That has to have, you know, I grew up on Aunt Willie Bell pies. You feel
right,
me? So
right.
I'm going to need you to help a sister where I am.
Right. Well, so much of the problem and where we're at with our weight and where we're at with health issues is as a result of sodiums and all kind of preservatives and things that we have within our food. But I am a holistic nutrition consultant. I believe in living a holistic lifestyle. So what I've done with Temple Meals is I have taken that same good food that we eat, and I've come up with alternatives for seasoning those foods with natural and fresh herbs and spices and juices from. So you don't, once you study and you learn about herbs and spices, you'll come to find out you don't even need sodium because you get that same taste when you use fresh herbs and spices.
Oh, because, you know, we like seasoning, fried chicken. And
I know
so talk to us about this fried stuff. So can we got to get rid of that too, Janae?
You got to get rid of it. You know, and my biggest thing about fried foods is not only does that fried food, because there's so many different things in it, the grease and the sugar that turns into fat, all of that stuff that adds to weight loss and it adds to obesity, it adds to high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all those different things. But my main issue with the fried foods is
that we just don't have to have it. And when we eat it, women like to have the, they want the flat belly so bad. But when you eat that fried food, it's keeping you from your flat belly because it goes straight to your belly. It goes into your digestive system, and because there's sugar, which is from the flour and things, turns into fat immediately, and it adds to that muffin top or that jelly belly or, you know, all of the different names that we have for the belly fat area.
Okay, and see, I'm a curvy girl. Like, I like my curves. I thank Diane. I think my mom is listening, too, and I appreciate her. But they gave us these nice hips. But I don't want this donut that I got in the front. I want the flat with the hips, you know. So
right.
I see now that because I have a problem. I love fried fish. I love fried chicken. I love fried French fries. You know, notice all my stuff is fried. So now I know that what I am eating is sitting in the middle making this donut circle.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because this is a Truth Heals Hurt show, I'm going to say what some of us that have these donuts, you know, how we exaggerate. We blame this on these children. Okay, so let me say this. Yana is about to be 22. How about that? And Aiden is 17. So can I keep blaming my donut on these kids?
No, you cannot. You can absolutely cannot, unfortunately. So many people believe that myth that the muffin top comes from having children. Yes, it was created when you had children, because there was fat and different things that added to that that area for the purpose of childbearing. But once you have those children, God is so good that he restores that whole area, and you can get rid of that fat. You can get rid of everything. You can even take those abdominal muscles and rebuild them right back to where they were. What happens in childbirth, I know that you know this, is the ab area, the abdominal stomach can stretch and spread so that you can carry a child. But God is so good that right after you deliver that baby, it goes right back. So as long as you're willing to eat right and get on an exercise regimen, you don't have to live with the baby belly or baby gut, what they call it. You don't have to continue to have that. You can get rid of that. But the problem is a lot of people don't get with a eating regimen or a healthy eating regimen. Your metabolism is going to naturally slow down after you have a child. Your metabolism slows down when you get from the time that you get pregnant. Your hormones increase, your female hormones increase. So many things happen in your body as a woman so that you can prepare to bear a child. So after you have that child, your body has been altered so much. Your metabolism is slowed down. Your hormone levels are way up, and it makes it easier for you to gain fat. But if you can get an eating regimen that will burn fat, and you can cut your sodium back, and you can increase your exercise regimen, then you can just as easily get rid of that area, that baby belly area.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, the older I get, okay, these hips, they're going to spread, and then I'm not needing extra, you know, I don't know what we call it. It's past the apple shape and into some other stuff, like a pear or what.
Yeah. You know what's so funny, though? I work with so many clients that are afraid to lose weight because they think that they're going to lose their curve. And ladies, just because, you know, you go on a weight loss journey, you don't have to lose your curve. And I've taken some women and I have built their temples. And as long as you know what muscles to target in your workout, you'll keep those curves. And matter of fact, those curves will be even more accentuated in the right way because you're building on those muscles. So burn that fat off. Don't worry. Don't get nervous about losing your curves. You can keep your curves, and you can accentuate the curves even more, and you'll have a nice, healthy, lean look if you get a good exercise regimen and eating regimen.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So, okay, I'm going to ask for women that are, you know, in their 30s, 40s. Okay, so we've kept this weight on us. It's there. Have you ever heard of anybody saying anything about, you know, this fat that just tries to hang on, like it's tougher to lose it the longer we wait? Is that a myth, or do you know, is that something, if we just get started, will we start seeing some results right away, or is this something we need to tough out, I guess I'm asking?
It's absolutely true. That is a true statement. The older you get, the harder it is to lose weight. But the reason why it is that way is because people don't follow the life cycle of their body. From the time that you're born, your body is meant to, it goes up and then it comes back down. So from the time of birth, you ever notice how kids have so much energy and you're looking at them like, how these kids have so much energy? Because their bodies are growing, their bodies are being nourished, their metabolism is super, super fast. So they have lots more energy. They can burn fat. They can eat McDonald's all week long and not
yes.
get a single pound. But when mm-hmm. you get to the age of 25, your body starts going downward. And that's the process of life and death. So when you're born, your body is growing. And then as you prepare for death, your body goes the other direction. So your metabolism slows down and all these different things begin to decline. What happens is, we don't adjust our food and our nutrition lifestyles and our exercise regimens according to the lifespan of our bodies. When our bodies begin to decline, we still eat the way that we ate when we were 17, 18, 20 years old.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't do mm-hmm. that. There's actually an article that showed that reads that people under or over the age of 50 years old are only supposed to intake 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day. Well, you get 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day if you go through the drive-thru, and that's just one meal. So if you're in your 50s and you're eating like you're in your 20s, then it will make it harder for you to lose fat. You've got to adjust everything about your body and your eating regimen as you get older. If you have a slower metabolism, you've got to eat more foods that are boost your metabolism and boost your body's fat-burning ability. But we're not adjusting ourselves and our lifestyles according to the lifespan of our bodies and where we're at in our lives.
Wow. And then let me say this. My husband aggravates my nerves because he is a small frame man, and so he can eat a cow. You know what I'm saying? Eat a whole cow, and we
yes,
not see anything happen to him. And then I eat a leg on the cow, and it's everywhere. Mm. It's all over.
Right.
And then it's just these side rolls. And so when we're out eating, I can't compete with him with this.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm like, so that's another thing to me, Janae, that people, we eat together. You know, when you're in relationships, you eat together, you eat with your kids. So that means everybody needs healthy meals, right? I mean, when we're cooking.
That is.
Yeah, everybody's going to need this. I guess to try to eat healthy. Now, let me ask you a question, because I know this is a question that I had. I started on my healthy food journey, and then when I went into the store, I noticed there's a section of wonderful, wonderful, beautiful-looking, organic-type fruit. The meat costs $100, and then my regular tomato was just 39 cents a pound. Do I spend the extra money for the organic, or am I doing good by just eating my fruit?
You're doing good if you're buying anything organic, unfortunately. And I'll tell you this secret. It's some studies that I have studied over the years, but this one particular article, it tells us that when you go into the grocery stores, if you look at the barcode, you've got your fours, which your barcode will say 4898, and then you have another barcode that starts with an 8867, and then you have another one that starts with 9. Well, your barcodes that start with a number 4 are what are considered, they're organic, but they're grown with pesticides. So anytime mm-hmm. you buy fruit or vegetables and it has a barcode that starts with a number 4, you're buying foods that have been grown with no GMOs or no moderation, but they have been grown with pesticides, which is still not a good thing to consume chemicals into our body. When you get into buying the 8, you're talking about GMOs, genetically modified. So when you're buying vegetables or fruits that have a barcode that starts with the number 8, very, very dangerous. And these are some things that cause cancer, different kinds of cancers, because those GMOs, they go into your body when you digest them, and they start causing your body to grow tumors, which are cancers and different things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you buy fruits and vegetables that have a barcode that start with the number 9, you're buying true organic. No GMOs, no pesticides. They're true organic, raised as natural as they can possibly be raised. So I highly recommend buying the true organic, which are the fruits and vegetables that start with the number 9. It may cost a little bit more, but would you rather spend a little bit more money on truly organic foods, or would you rather spend a whole bunch of money trying to get treatments for cancers and different
things like that. Yeah. See, I thought about that because I said when I first started, I was like, oh, this is so much money, so much more money. But then, like you said, if we think about it the way that you just said it, and that is we're eliminating some cancer costs. It's a lot of money to pay for cancer treatments and different things. Not saying, you know, that we'll get that, but you don't know. I mean, there's a lot of tests that are trying to, you know, where people are trying to figure out how we get cancer, how, you know, where is this stuff coming from. And so I figure, too, it's a lot of what we eat. We don't know where some of this stuff is coming from. So, like you said, the organic is the way. Now, I live on an island where I'm limited on some of the vegetables and I'm limited on some of the things, but I still have no excuse. I was giving out these excuses early so Janae could tackle us because I know I'm saying what some other people are thinking. So my next thing, Janae, and I love, love, love the video you did about are we using the bathroom? Are we pooping like we should?
Yeah.
And how about my answer was no. I am not using the restroom as I should have been using. I'm trying to get a little regular. But how can we get regular? Because my aunt passed from having a situation where she was not using the restroom as she should, which is they said we should go every day, right, Janae?
Right. You should go every day, but you should if your body is at its peak, its potential, you honestly supposed to move your bowels or poop, for lack of a better term, three times a day. Mm-hmm. That is realistically how much we're supposed to poop.
Well, child, we way off then, Janae.
Lord, we all messed up.
What you mean? Because I'm thinking people, you know, we go one time in the morning, we good.
Right. No, you know, no. Because, see, what happens is everything that you're taking in your body all day long is sitting in there. I like to call them, like, people look at their bellies and they say pot bellies. Those are not actually pot bellies. They're actually poop bellies. That's what I call it, poop bellies, because that is nothing but, yes, that's nothing but a bunch of undigested food in your stomach backed up that hasn't been digested and hasn't been broken down. So you got a poop belly.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you how to get rid of that. Yeah, but there are ways to get rid of that. First of all, the first thing you want to do is you want to get a good detox and begin to cleanse your body out. Even if you can't go to a wellness center and get a detox or a whole body cleanse, begin to drink some water infused with citrus fruits like lemon, lime, some berries, different berries, mint, cayenne, honey, those things. Apple cider vinegar is one of the best ways to naturally detox your body. Do a teaspoon of that every day to naturally detox your body, and that'll begin detox and get rid of toxins and parasites.
See, that's
in
natural
your body.
Stuff. And
yeah,
so you said
natural
what kind
way.
Of vinegar now? What vinegar?
Apple cider vinegar. That's the brown kind.
Okay, I have a question for you, and I'm so excited. I like it when the audience is participating. It makes me feel like I'm getting somewhere because, I want my show to be about things that help people. And people are giving good feedback already. They said great tips, Janae. But I have last week's guest, Mario Render. His question is, how important is it for couples to work out as a team to achieve their fitness goals? Let me say something before you say something, Janae. Mario, let me tell you, I'm not trying to have my husband be fine and I be walking around here like blue. Because my husband, Sue, he looks very nice. And, you know, I don't feel like I have to compete. But, Lord have mercy, I want to accompany him without being slow and out of breath. So, Janae, answer that question, though. Is how important is it for couples to work out as a team to achieve their fitness goals?
It is highly important. And I did a video a few weeks ago talking about how God gave Adam Eve. Well, God gave Adam Eve. He also gave Naomi to Ruth. He will give you an accountability partner. And what better partner to have as an accountability partner than your spouse? Because oftentimes we get discouraged along our health and fitness journey. You wake up in the morning, you look at that clock, you know what you need to do, but you just don't do it. But if you have an accountability partner, especially someone that you love and you trust, You will trust mm-hmm. them enough to get the job done and to do the things that you know you need to do. You trust them enough to tell, to give you advice about your temple and your workout and living a healthy life. So having an accountability partner is highly, highly important. Now, that's a twofold thing. You may not be able to eat the exact same because, like you were saying about you and your husband, men and women's bodies, they function differently, and they are totally different. Men have a faster metabolism, and they don't deal with the things that women deal with because our bodies are made to bear children. So we may not be able to eat the same, but as far as exercising, we can exercise together every day, and we can hold each other accountable to making sure that we get our 30 minutes of exercise every day to live a healthy lifestyle.
Okay, so Janae, since we're on this, what about this? Now, I cheated and quit. Reggie and I, we started out working. See, I told you, I'm going to tell the truth. I like to be healed.
That's all right.
So we worked out, but I couldn't keep up with Reggie. So I was like, because you want to do 100, you know, of these things, and I can only do 10. What?
Right.
I need to get to that level. Now, he was very patient with me, but see, I quit, you know. My
well,
little,
that's a good man. That's a good man to be patient with.
He was patient with
you.
Me, but, you know, I was like, you're doing too much. And then, see, I wanted him to cheat, you know, like, give me 10 and you get 25. And, you know, like, I'm going to do 10. That is not, so if you're listening as couples, you can't do that. You, like, I
you
understand
that.
That I wasn't on the level that he was on, but I was like, wait a minute now. You've been doing this all the time.
That's okay, and we don't have to be on the level of, I've always tell people get the misconception because I'm fit and I'm strong and stuff like that, that I want to do. I don't want to do what men do. Don't know, I'm fit Coach Janae, but I'm sensitive and feminine too. So it's okay not to be on a man's level, and if you're working out with your spouse or another male, you can do the same. You can do some of the same workouts, but there's oftentimes we just have to minimize it. We have to do lesser sets, lesser reps, lesser weight, because we don't want to look like men. We want to look soft and feminine.
Right, and not hard. Okay, so what about the people that's been on this journey and they just feel like, oh, I am not getting anywhere. Like, I'm just losing inches, and I see all these people posting things about pounds. And so I don't know if there – do you have on your website, because I don't want us to give away all your secrets. I mean, listen, people – if you want stuff, you got to support people and pay for stuff. We can't
Amen.
Just give you stuff free. You know, you just want us to tell you all the tricks and secrets and stuff free. Want Princess to give away her books free. You know, I wrote this
right.
book because I'm trying to be an author. You feel
exactly.
me? I want to
okay.
be able to sell my stuff. You know, I want
yes.
it's just $4. But now Janae's stuff is not free now. She got to make a living. She's using her
That's
gifts.
Right.
Gifts make room for her. She has a light bill, you know, stuff she got to pay for. So
yes,
go. I want y'all to visit Fit Coach Janae's website so you can see and if she can walk you through, because she has like different challenges that you all can look at. If you're trying to lose weight in the stomach area, if you need her to look at you and tell you what to target, you know, I want you to go to her website. So now I'm not asking these questions so we can cheat, you know, and just not because we listen, Janae, we pay for what we want to pay for. We invest
right.
in what we want to invest in. And so since our bodies our temples. Well, it's saying I have 90 seconds, Janae. So, Janae, tell us right quick how we can connect with you, how people can contact you.
Well, you can go to my website, www.fitcoachjanae.com. You can also email me at mytemplefit.com. I'm on Facebook at Janae Nicole, and I'm on Instagram at I highly recommend that you get a consultation, because as much free advice as I can give you, I can only give you a good consultation based on your body type, age, weight, and your blood type that will truly maximize your weight loss, and that might be the problem for so many. But www.fitcoachjanae.com, email me, and I'll get back to you.
Well, I thank Janae and Candy for coming on my show today. I'm going to have you back, Janae, because we got so many questions, and we might have to do this again. Okay,
we do.
So you hang tight, and it's about to be over.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. It's time to go. But I'll be back next week, same day, same time, but with a different guest. I'm out.
Love. Janae.
Yeah.
No, it was Janae. Sorry.
That was so great.
Okay, you guys. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, just a different guest.